What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, my two co-hosts, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for three seasons now, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live. But this is our first season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, giving you your team every day. And it is our first season. I guess technically it might be our second season now, guys, because we're in the off season. So we have a bunch of off season shows coming up for you guys. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about the Chargers Pro Bowl players and what they were able to do on Sunday, even though we all know and we are in on the joke that the Pro Bowl is a joke. We understand that too. But at least you got to see the Chargers coaching staff and have a couple of their players do well, specifically Keenan Allen. But then we have to get into the impending free agent class because, guys, there are a ton of players that are going to be free agents from the Chargers, mainly on the defensive side. But today's show, we're going to be talking about the offensive side. We're going to get into the list of all of the players, and then we're going to tell you who they need to keep and who they need to let go. So, not a lot of players on that list, guys, but let's talk about the Pro Bowl first. The Pro Bowl was on Sunday, and the AFC had a dominant performance in a game that was mainly defense-oriented, but you did get to see some players on the Chargers have success. Keenan Allen ended up leading the AFC in catches and total yardage receiving and ended up getting a 50-yard catch from Patrick Mahomes, which was pretty cool to see. David, what did you see on Sunday in the Pro Bowl? Was it worth watching for you to see some of the Chargers in there making some plays?
Well, I'm a huge Charger fan just by nature. So, you know, whenever there's a Charger player involved, chances are I'm going to be tuning in to check it out. I mean, I'm with most everyone else. I mean, the Pro Bowl has turned into a joke, honestly. They don't even block. They don't really play any type of defense. I mean, it's just, it's a glorified all-star game. I mean, like all the rest. But, yeah, I mean, I always tune in to check out the Bowl, too. It was great to see, you know, Keenan Allen get that big catch. I also liked, towards the end, watching Derwin James play some offense. They really had some fun with it, let the guys really go out there and play some different positions they're not used to. So that in within itself was entertaining.
Derwin James is playing on offense, but Melvin Ingram actually got in and got a carry on offense too, John. And you can just tell he just wants to be an offensive player in his heart.
Yeah, he got to run the ball this year during the regular season. Now he got to do it in the Pro Bowl. So maybe some hints here, like, hey, coach, make me a fullback or a tight end, you know, wink, wink. Yeah. But Derwin James and Melvin Ingram playing on offense shows you that we have some pretty good athletes on this team, not just position players. We got athletes, and it gives you a little bit of hope on what we can do to mix things around on this team for next year, because you saw Derwin James play multiple spots on the field on defense. Melvin Ingram could do that too. We've seen it before, being a guy in pass coverage and rushing, and now doing it in the Pro Bowl kind of gives you that hint that, you know, hey, coach, you were there. You saw it. Let's do it.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt that you have the Chargers coaching staff who obviously want to get those guys involved. And they weren't the only defensive players that got in the action, because Melvin Ingram did get a carry and also had a sack. But Jalen Ramsey ended up catching a touchdown. And I think that kind of brings us, guys, with not a ton to talk about in the Pro Bowl, to what a bunch of other people are talking about. And that is Jalen Ramsey potentially being a Charger. And I know, I mean, it's very unlikely, David, but there has been a lot of buzz. He's been hanging out with the Chargers players. I just don't necessarily see it happening.
Well, I mean, just, you know, with all the money taken out of it and, you know, all the business stuff of the NFL just thrown out the window, of course, you'd love to have a player like Jalen Ramsey. I mean, it's very rare that you have a talent that's so young, that's so just so good. I mean, definitely would be great to have him, add him with Derwin James in that secondary. It would be absolutely scary for opposing offenses. But then you have to bring in the business side, because, hey, we don't live in a fairyland. We live in the real world. So, and with that being said, you know, even if the Chargers traded for Jalen Ramsey, it would take a exponential amount of draft capital. And then after you do that, you have to worry about signing him up to a big contract because he's still on his rookie deal. And he is expected to make a lot of money. And you got a couple of guys on the Chargers side who needs to get paid, you know, that being Joey Bosa, Melvin Gordon. So just financially, it just really doesn't make sense. I don't see it happening. I would love to see it happen, but I don't see it happening. It's just not likely, Daniel.
Yeah, and I understand why people are would get excited about it. It's a really special talent in Jalen Ramsey. The Chargers have seen that firsthand with how much the Chargers struggled against them in the 2017 season. But it doesn't work. I mean, really, and not only with the contracts, David, and having to pay these guys, you're putting him on the same scale as Joey Bosa. Both of the guys would have to be signed at the same time. I mean, they both hit free agency the same time. They're both going to have that guaranteed fifth-year option at the same time, which can be very expensive. And you also have to go pay Phillip Rivers as well because he only has 1 year left on his contract, so we don't necessarily know what the salary cap is going to look like at that point. But John, I think this is pretty much just a fairy tale type of thought because I just really don't see in any world where they could actually get it done, even knowing that, of course, you would love to have him on the team.
Well, I personally don't want him on the team with that off-season drama that he had with calling out all the players and then not being able to live up to it. He's got a target on his back throughout the league, and we don't need that on this team. But there is no way that deal is happening. I mean, one, it's the Chargers. I mean, when do they actually go out and do something like that? It rarely ever happens. And two, the financial situation that was brought up by David is in a couple of years, you're going to have to pay the guy and all these other guys on your team. It's not worth having him for 2 years when you could probably get an older veteran who's close to the same talent for the same amount of years for less money and not have to worry about a contract extension.
And it's not necessarily a position of need for the Chargers right now. I mean, you expect to see better from Casey Hayward, who's had up and down years throughout his career. I don't think this is the end of Casey Hayward. And then you also have one of the better cornerbacks in the NFL in Desmond King and a really up-and-coming guy in Michael Davis. And all of those guys, with the exception of Casey Hayward, are really cheap right now, and you're going to have to pay them at some point. Michael Davis is a restricted free agent, which helps the Chargers out a lot, but I just don't see it happening. Even though I would bring on the off-the-field concerns to get a guy of that talent, because obviously we've seen much worse in the ways of having off-the-field concerns. He's not popping up on drug tests. He's not getting in altercations with females in hotels. So I would absolutely take on the baggage of Jalen Ramsey. It just doesn't work out financially or really make any sense for the Chargers to give up that kind of draft capital during the end of Phillip Rivers' career. I mean, you'd much rather, you know, go out and get a defensive tackle or something that's going to really help you in the short term if you're going to get rid of any of those draft picks. But we do need to talk about the offensive players the Chargers have coming up in this free agent class. So let's go ahead and get into that. But first, I need to tell you guys that ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. And this week I would tell you not to bet against the Patriots because we've all done that and we've all lost. Know yourself, know better than that. But remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why I'm telling you, you need to go check out MyBookie. They've been one of our partners all season long. It's the best place to place your bets. And they have great reviews online, so you know that they're trustworthy. And that's what you want, because we all know we're all putting some crazy money on prop bets this week. I mean, you can bet Jared Goff or Kevin Durant going to account for more points this week. You can guess what kind of Gatorade they're pouring on the coaches, heads or tail on the coin toss. MyBookie has all of the best prop bets for the Super Bowl, so you're absolutely going to want to check that out. And if you join MyBookie now, we will match your deposit dollar for dollar when you activate the promo code LOCKEDON. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. All right, guys, now it's time to go over the offensive free agents that the Chargers have to make decisions on. So this will be the who do we not want to keep from this list of guys. So I'll go ahead and go over it for you. There's a couple big names on here, but a couple really inconsequential names, I would say, as well. So obviously you start with Antonio Gates being an unrestricted free agent, obviously, because they signed him to a one-year deal after originally not giving him a contract. He came in, he had decent production, and then you have another guy in Tyrell Williams, who's been very up and down, I would say, but he could be a number one receiver on some teams. He just hasn't showed that. He has the potential, but he hasn't been that yet. And then so some of the smaller guys would be Jeremy Davis, who hasn't gotten on the field as a wide receiver, really, but has been a key part on special teams. And then you have Cole Toner, basically a reserve offensive lineman. And then Artavis Scott, who also never really saw the field, but has been around for a couple of years. So, John, when I tell you that list, what are the names that stand out on there that you don't want to see come back to the Chargers next season?
Definitely Cole Toner. Please do not bring him back. The fact that he made this roster is unbelievable to me. That is by far the one name I do not want to see back on this team. We could get so much better on the offensive line, at center, at guard, whatever position he wants to play, because he played a few different positions in preseason, but mostly he was at center in the beginning. We can get so much better than him.
And I think it really shows you the lack of depth and the lack of talent in the Chargers offensive line group that he made the roster. I mean, they just didn't have guys that were able to play at an NFL level in that locker room outside of a few of the starters. I mean, some of the starters were iffy of whether they should play in the NFL. But Cole Toner is absolutely a guy that we won't miss, because we never really saw him. And then the limited time that we did see him, he didn't really do anything. And I think Artavis Scott, I don't know, I don't see a path where he gets re-signed. Maybe they get him somewhere near the minimum and he's just, you know, a camp body. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to bring him back on some sort of non-guaranteed contract and give him a shot in camp. I think that's the most likely way that it's going to go, David. But the other guy here is Tyrell Williams, who could he could possibly be in the guys we don't want to see back next year. What are your feelings right now with Tyrell Williams hitting the open market?
So my feelings on Tyrell Williams is based on comments that he's made himself. He fashions himself as a number one wide receiver. And I think, you know, with those comments, he expects to get paid like a number one wide receiver, and that, you know, $8 to $12 million per year range, which I don't see Tyrell Williams as that type of player. He's too inconsistent. He disappeared for, you know, stretches of the season. And that's not something a number one wide receiver does. You know, maybe a game, maybe two, where they get locked up against a really good secondary or a great corner. But, you know, number one wide receivers, they make their plays no matter what. And I just don't see Tyrell Williams as a true number one wide receiver. So if he's asking for wide receiver money, then I'm going to have to say goodbye to Tyrell Williams.
We could really get in the next segment for the case to bring Tyrell Williams back. But for now, I'm going to say you need to try to find something else, because I don't think he's a long-term answer. I think you've put these years into him and his development, and you've seen really what he's been able to max out at. I just don't know at this point that you can expect him to really keep evolving and keep getting better, even though we saw some improvement this year. There's just too many times where, whether it's a decoy or whether there's not getting plays to him, he's been a non-factor, and that's just not a guy that you can spend that kind of money on. But, John, I think this next guy could probably go either way because of what he's been able to do on special teams. Do you think the Chargers should keep Jeremy Davis around?
That's tough. I think it has to do with whether or not Tyrell Williams leaves. I personally would like to have Tyrell Williams back, because I'm pretty sure after he tests the free agent market, he's more likely not going to get the money he wants and will probably want to come back here because he knows the system already. But if he was to somehow get that money and leave, I would keep Jeremy Davis because of the fact that he knows the system and he's been around a little while. And we still have guys in the wide receiver core that haven't even played a snap yet. So I would like to keep Jeremy Davis if Tyrell Williams leaves.
Yeah, I think I would say that pretty much works out with me, because I think you have other wide receivers that you just don't know what you have. We don't know if Travis Benjamin's going to be around next year. We hope not. We don't know what we're going to see out of Dylan Cantrell, or if he even makes the roster going up into this next season, because I think obviously there's a legitimate chance that he doesn't, because he wasn't even brought onto the team until much later on in the season. So I think all of these guys, it really just depends on the price tag. But I think Artavis Scott, I don't know if any of those type of players you can really worry about, because you're not going to go spend a ton of money. The Chargers have about $25 million in salary cap before cuts. So these guys coming off the books, there's some bigger numbers on the defensive side where most of that money is coming off. But a lot of that has to be used for the draft as well. And that means you need to save a certain amount of that cap space to sign those players that you get in the draft. But the last guy I want to talk about is Donnie Jones. And I think we are probably universal on this sentiment, but Donnie Jones, David, should not be the punter heading into next season.
He shouldn't have been the punter last season, let alone next season. They signed him out of retirement, and he barely averaged 45 yards per punt. So, yes, there's no way I want anything to do with Donnie Jones in a Chargers uniform ever again. And honestly, he probably should consider going back into retirement and enjoying the money he's made in the NFL, because, quite frankly, he just cannot compete at the level that NFL punters compete at. So the Chargers need to go look and, you know, find a better punter, someone who can actually kick it over 50 yards without having to let it roll to get there. So, yeah, no. Yeah, I think we all agree on this. It's pretty simple, elementary. No more Donnie Jones.
Yeah, and let's remember why Donnie Jones was brought onto this team, and that is because the Chargers decided to blame their field goal kicking issues on the holder, because, hey, you tried out so many kickers and they were all bad. So we have to look at something else that could be the problem. So next, we always joked, would be the long snapper, Mike Wint, but it seems he's safer now. Now you can get another young punter in the building. And it just doesn't seem that hard to me, guys, that you could go find someone that can average more than the low 40s in punts. It just seems like he's very done for at this point. I mean, they kept saying, hey, his leg strength will come back as the season progresses. And that's just something that we never saw. So maybe you look for a late round draft pick and try to get one of the top punters in college. Or I'm pretty sure there's five guys at least on the street that could come in and be better punters than Donnie Jones' 39-year-old self right away. No disrespect, but his punting career probably should be over. But we do have one more segment to get into, and that's the guys we want to keep in making cases for a guy like Antonio Gates to be back on the roster in 2019. But first, I need to tell you guys that this episode could have been brought to you by your company or your product if you're looking for a way to reach new customers. This episode was brought to you by MyBookie, but your company could be mentioned right now. Next show, if you guys reach out at dwade4256@gmail.com. Our demographic is 98% males, with a higher education and more traditional earning than normal audiences. And podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with the sponsors they hear on their podcast. So it's all good from here, guys. Get thousands and thousands of people hearing about your product just by emailing me once again at dwade4256@gmail.com. All right, guys, time for the final segment of the day, and that's making a case for guys to stay on this roster. And I think I'm going to come up with another side of the Tyrell Williams thing, just giving the case for if he was to stay. I know, John, you were saying that you would like to keep Tyrell Williams in a perfect world. So tell me why you would like to keep Tyrell Williams and what the role for him going forward you could envision would be.
Well, I want to keep him as long as we don't have to give him that big number one wide receiver money that I don't think he deserves. But he is definitely a weapon on this team, and I feel like the Chargers haven't used him the right way, and we've seen it. The Patriots game is a perfect example of how predictable of an offense we were running and how ugly it was. All we did was go to Mike Williams the whole time or try to find Keenan. He was double covered and there was nowhere else to go, or we threw it to the running backs. We kept it pretty simple. And the year before, when we actually used Tyrell Williams, you saw a more efficient offense towards the end of the year. So I would like to keep him as maybe the third receiver. I have Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, and Tyrell Williams on this team, and I would love to keep him as long as we don't have to pay the big money, because he is still a weapon. He's still a deep threat. The crossing route is still money when we actually use it. But if we have to pay him money, I'm fine with letting him go, but I prefer to keep him.
I just don't think that even wide receiver two money would be something the Chargers could spend on him. I just can't imagine giving him, you know, the Travis Benjamin contract, because if you look at Travis Benjamin, what he was able to do when he was on the Browns, he wasn't a number one receiver. He wasn't even really a number two receiver. He had one good season basically, but you were signing him based on what you thought that you could do with him, and that you were signing him for the upside. And I think that's, if you were able to get him on a reasonable contract, you're saying that you still believe there's something else that you can get out of him, because he was a non-factor towards the end of the season. So I think that's something you absolutely have to consider. His last two seasons have been pretty good. But he's gone down in yards the last three seasons. Much of that is due to, you know, getting Keenan Allen back and having him not be injured. But in 2016, he had obviously his biggest season, went for 1,059 yards, then went down to 728 with the return of Keenan Allen last season. And now with the resurgence of Mike Williams, went down to 653 yards this season. So I do think he is a big play threat, but definitely not the season he wanted to have as far as making money. I wouldn't be totally opposed to bringing him back, but that leads us to the next guy who, could we actually see him back? Antonio Gates said that he isn't done. He does not want to have this taste in his mouth and ride off into the sunset getting blown out by the Patriots, David, and I cannot blame him. And he was able to put up a semi-productive season. I think you don't really see what he brought by looking at his stats only, because he did have a lot of key first down conversions. He did make some big plays when they needed him to. But do you want to see Antonio Gates come back?
Yes, I actually do want to see Antonio Gates come back. If nothing else, then just be that security blanket, just to make sure that Hunter Henry is fully healthy and he has, you know, and the Chargers have another complement pass catcher. Because, you know, like you said, he did, you know, he was effective on third downs and extending plays. And not, you know, you might, you know, play devil's advocate and say, hey, do we want Phillip Rivers to continue to stare down Antonio Gates? But for me, I just think that, you know, he can still play. He still showed some wiggle. I mean, he doesn't have great speed, but he still uses his body to get open, still makes great catches. And, you know, he's still productive and he was healthy. I mean, that's a big thing, obviously. You know, the Chargers did a great job of taking care of helping Antonio Gates take care of his body. And he was available the entire season. So, yeah, absolutely. It's not going to cost a whole lot of money. And, you know, you said he's an unrestricted free agent, but honestly, he's really a restricted free agent, because in my mind, it's he either signs with the Chargers or he retires. I don't think there's any other scenario where you're going to see him play on another team.
Well, and you have to factor in that he didn't really get any calls last offseason when he was unsigned. But to the Chargers' credit, they did give him a lot of Wednesday practices off. They did take it easy on him and basically let him skip all of training camp and preseason, because obviously he really doesn't need it at this point. But John, I know Antonio Gates is one of your favorite players of all time, probably your favorite tight end of all time. But what do you want the Chargers to do with Antonio Gates going forward?
Bring him back. Make him the second tight end behind Hunter Henry. He's still effective. He can still be the guy on third down. Phillip Rivers still knows how to use him the right way when he needs him. As David mentioned, the security blanket. He still has the moves. He doesn't have the same speed, but he can still run. I mean, he juked out a Chiefs defender like it was nothing. And that Chiefs defense is a lot younger than Antonio Gates is for the most part, and he still is juking them out. It's not rocket science to see that Gates can still play. And I would like to see them give him rest during training camp again, because you do need to let the young guys get more reps. The great thing about Bill Belichick is that he uses everybody on his roster as if they were going to start that game. Even if Tom Brady's completely healthy, the backup quarterback is getting as much reps as he is. So I want to see the Chargers kind of do that kind of thing with the young guys and the third stringers to get them developed and let Gates take his rest and let him heal up during the season. And I think that's worked really well last year. They got to do it again.
I think there's absolutely a role for Antonio Gates on this team. And I think really, guys, you know, you talk about Hunter Henry going back, and maybe that's a detriment to the production of Antonio Gates. But I think Hunter Henry actually is going to open things up big time for Antonio Gates. I think it actually will help Antonio Gates having him on the field. He was really the only threat at the tight end position for the Chargers in the receiving game.
Yeah, you didn't really get anything out of Virgil Green at all. I mean, a couple of catches, a couple of easy looks, but he really wasn't the weapon. And to be fair, nobody thought he was going to be the weapon. He's brought in to be a blocking tight end, which he did very, very well. He did aid this rushing attack, did help Melvin Gordon get over 5 yards per carry, but he really is not a pass catching threat. So I agree with you guys. I'd like to see him back, and hopefully we can see him ride out in the sunset with a championship.
Yeah, and I think you still could find a young tight end and still have Antonio Gates in the mix. So you could use that Sean Colkin spot for a young guy if you decide to draft somebody, if you decide to try to find a diamond in the rough in undrafted free agency. I couldn't see them, you know, using a third-round pick on a tight end. But I think there absolutely should be a young tight end in the room as well that could possibly develop into a starter long term, because Hunter Henry only has one more year on his rookie deal. So you have to start preparing for that as well. But I think that wraps things up for today's show, guys. We have a much longer list of guys we need to talk about on the defensive side of the ball coming up. But I do want to tell you guys to make sure you tell us who you want the Chargers to keep in their free agent class. And you can do that by calling the Locked On Chargers hotline. The phone number is 323-524-7924. You leave a voicemail. We will play it on the show. We always do. It's one of our favorite things to do, and we love to hear your guys' voices. So make sure you call that hotline. And also make sure to go follow us on Twitter at Locked On LAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing wherever you get your podcast from and giving us a 5-star review. We would really appreciate that. But we will be back with you guys in a couple days with the defensive impending free agents. So stick around until then. We will talk to you guys later. Take it easy and go Bolts.